I started watching this show a few weeks ago. It's called Somebody Somewhere on HBO. And then I raved about it to anyone who would listen. A lot of things struck me about this show. First and foremost, the fullness of the queer characters. Also, the authenticity of the dialogue. But even more than those things, the show stood out to me because of the way that it represents religion through this one character named Joel. He's the best friend in this story. The main character is a woman named Sam, who's played by Bridget Everett. Sam has moved back to her hometown in Kansas, and she ends up reconnecting with this guy she went to high school with, Joel. The two of them fill voids in each other's lives in this beautiful way. In one scene, Sam is helping Joel shop around for a new church, even though she herself is not religious in the slightest.
Okay, I got my little notebook. I'll write down all the pros and cons. We can just pop in, and if you're not feeling it, we'll just check out the next one. You want to start over here?
Yeah. Let's do Lutheran, Presbyterian, catch Methodist, swing around to Baptist, okay, and then we can go to the next block.
Let's start and build one at a time.
Okay.
Jeff Hiller plays Joel in the show. I talked to him about his big break, also growing up gay and Christian in Texas, and foregoing life as a pastor for a life of performing. This is really why I wanted to talk to you, because I saw this scene and I was like, wait, what? I kept waiting for like the dig, right? Like the cutting joke that was going to somehow eviscerate this religious person or this character, because that's what we're sort of used to seeing. And it wasn't that at all.
No. And in fact, the only jokes really come at the expense of Sam just having no idea what what churches do.
Right.
She points at this beautiful
place?
Stained glass thing of Jesus holding a lamb, and she's like, who's that guy holding the poodle?
And that guy holding the tiny poodle.
Oh my God, you've never been to a church, have you?
Don't worry about it.
It's just treated so gently in the show. Like, it's not treated with derision.
Yeah.
It's just a part of who he is as a fully realized human being.
Exactly. Because I know so many queer folks who are members of faith communities. And in fact, that's where they found their people, their family, their found family. And I know so many churches that are basically the only voice of social justice in their communities. That's where you go if you need food. That's where you go if you need help on your rent. You know, I think in pop culture, when you see church, you just think, oh, it's going to smush down the gay people.
Right.
And it's so much more nuanced than that.
So how would you define your spiritual identity?
So I grew up in the church. I was super, I was very obviously gay growing up. Mm-hmm. I know, it's a shock. And just sort of mercilessly bullied. I mean, I feel like there needs to be a bigger word for it.
Really?
So school was just a nightmare, but my family was a safe space, and so was church on Sunday mornings. Even kids who were mean to me in school would be nice to me in Sunday school. The church was really like, it was a safe space. I went to a slightly progressive Lutheran church, and
this is in San Antonio, right?
San Antonio, Texas, exactly. And I worked at camps as a camp counselor, and those camps were super progressive. And the school where I studied theology in hopes of becoming a pastor were very progressive as well. They were all about contextual theology and really focusing on grace, on the New Testament idea that God is full of grace and love, as opposed to the sort of Old Testament idea of judgmental and you know, angry God. So I still hold on to that. Now, I went to church for many years, even after coming out, even after leaving Texas. I did a sort of church-affiliated volunteer program after college, where I was like a full-time volunteer. It was sort of like AmeriCorps, but churchy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went to church then, and even after I moved to New York to become an actor, I went to church for about 10 years. And I stopped partly because of geography, partly because my husband is Jewish, and partly because I feel like for me at this moment in my life, I don't need a church. I just need to like volunteer and have a community. And yeah. I have that without the sort of Sunday morning portion of it. I never really found one in New York that fit my fancy.
Right. I want to go back to what it was like for you when you were growing up. You said that church and your family were both safe spaces. When did you come out to your family? What was that like?
I came out when I was to my parents when I was doing that churchy AmeriCorps program. So it was after college because I had come out to some people in college, but I went to Texas Lutheran College, so it wasn't like
right.
wasn't like Berkeley. You know what I mean? It was, there was no one else that was out, so you would whisper it, and then somebody would be like, "I heard that this person is gay too." You know?
Yeah.
I told them after college because I was afraid that they would. I don't know what I was afraid of. Uh-huh. Like it didn't make any sense. My mom had been nothing but kind, and of course, when I came out, they were like. Yeah, we know. I've never told anybody who was like, really? I am who I am. And so anyhow, it was totally fine.
Did you sing in the church choir?
I did.
So
and
did
the
I.
school choir.
Yes.
Did you in the
yes,
church
totally.
Choir?
I was totally in the church choir. I had a solo when I was 7. I was a big star, Jeff. I was a big star in the church choir.
Do you remember the solo? Like what the song was?
Yeah, we have to cut all this out. Yes, it was by Amy Grant. Yes.
Thy Word?
Amy Grant. It, oh my God, I love Thy Word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto... Anyway, that's going out. But enough about me. I am interested, though, you to the point that you, I mean, you were going to be a pastor.
Yeah.
This was, you felt, to use the terminology, you really felt called to that?
Oh, my gosh. We use that terminology like crazy. We love talking about being called. It's so funny. I think about that now, and it's like, it's such a word that you use to sort of hide ambition.
Totally. You know what I mean? Right. Not me. I mean, I can just do anything. I was called. What am I supposed
exactly.
to do? Right.
You know, I'm wrestling with it. I'm wrestling with the call.
How are you?
Yes, I did feel called, though. Like, that's the other thing is that I was being sincere. I wasn't just using language. I really felt called. Yeah. But, I mean, in retrospect, it's like I loved perform and I loved to entertain. And that was something, you know, you knew you had at least 1 hour every week. Admittedly, not the best hour, Sunday at 10 a.m., but still.
There was an audience. They showed up.
Built an audience. Right. You know, if it's a big enough church, you could get 2 shows, an 8 a.m. and a 10:30. But I loved doing a sermon and things like that. And I think if I hadn't come out, or, you know, if I weren't gay, I would be a pastor right now. But
really?
At the time in the ELCA, which is the Lutheran synod that I was a part of, they said you could be gay, but you couldn't have a partner. You had to be celibate. And I found that very rude.
Right. It's a sin like everyone else's sin, and so you can't right. live in your sin.
Exactly. And that has since changed. Mm-hmm. But that was what the rule was when I was graduating from college and contemplating going to seminary, and so I just didn't. That's when I did all the social worky stuff. And then I was like, a terrible social worker. You need a lot of like conflict. You can't be afraid of conflict to be a social worker. And I am. So, and also I just really, really, really wanted to perform.
Yeah.
And so.
Did you grieve that at all? That you couldn't do this thing that you had thought that you were going to do for a long time?
That's so interesting. I don't think grieve is the right word. I think I had some shame about it.
Oh.
And some embarrassment about not, I mean, you know, even on the most basic level, like I was working with homeless youth and I left the homeless youth to go like do improv comedy. I mean, it's hard to spin as a positive. I do remember one pastor telling me like, she was like, well, you're bringing joy to the world. And I was like, I don't know. It's a lot of fart jokes. And yet here we are.
And here we are. You spent many years teaching people to do this craft, right? You were teaching acting and comedy to a whole bunch of people who are pretty famous at this point.
Yeah. Yes, yes. And it ate me up. I was very jealous of them. But yes, Abbi Jacobson, Ilana Glazer, Kate McKinnon, Ellie Kemper, Darcy Carden, all of these people. It didn't matter that they were incredibly talented, you know, gorgeous and and smart and fun and kind, warm people. But yeah, I did. I got really jealous of them.
What was the internal dialogue in your head, besides the knee-jerk emotional reaction of being a little envious? what would pop up in the story that you were telling yourself?
Well, the main story was, you know, too ugly, too gay, too large. I'm very large. I'm 6'5", and, you know,
it's big for TV.
I'm over 200. Yeah, it's big for TV. You know, you look like Lurch standing there next to all the movie stars.
They're too tiny. It's not you. They're all too small.
That's right. That's right. But of course, like, it makes you just feel like worthless. Like, well, you know, you start to believe that. And you also start to think, like, what am I doing wrong? Like, I see these people and I feel like I'm also talented. Why am I not getting roles? And basically the answer is, it's not fair.
Right.
Entertainment's not fair. Life is not fair. That's just not how it works. Which is hard when you grew up, you know, believing like God will make it all right.
Right.
You know, like, there's a reason for this. This person died, but it's for the best. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's all a part of the plan. And you're like, what's the plan?
What's the plan here? Yeah. What is the plan? I don't like this plan. I want a new one.
Oh my God, Rich. That is so true. I really did want another plan.
So is it fair to say that this role on Somebody Somewhere is your big break?
Oh, my God. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Completely. I mean, undoubtedly.
What other words could we say?
I mean, like, before this, I was playing waiters, you know? This is huge to actually have an interior life. And, I mean, just have a name is a big deal for my career.
Oh, like, attached to your role? Like, you have an identity?
As opposed to, like, waiter or, like, maitre d'. That was the scary thing. I had aged out of waiter into maitre d'.
I mean, what a trip, though, to be at this for so long. And then to what? You actually got a phone call from Bridget Everett, right?
Yeah. Yeah. She asked me. Well, it was an email. She asked me to audition. And she said, would you consider auditioning for my show? And I was like, I will audition for, you know, an internet commercial. Yes, I'll audition for your HBO show.
You ever bless an animal?
No. Have you?
Yeah. I did a goat once.
You blessed a goat?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool.
I read this role and I was like, I'm a theology major. This guy is, you know, he goes to church. He sings. He plays the piano. He's you know, warm and kind. And I know how to play this. I kind of felt like, oh, I think they wrote this role for me, but they didn't. They were like, no, we didn't. We didn't know who you were.
Joel.
Hmm.
Is that a dream board?
No.
Oh.
It's a vision board.
Okay. You really spent some time on this.
You
go to Paris, you got an Eiffel Tower there.
Well, just Europe. I want to go to Europe.
Okay. Oh, and then, of course, everybody's hands and a heart.
Community.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Joel does vision boards, right? He cuts things out of magazines and puts them on his vision board to try to manifest them in real life.
Yes.
If you were a person who was inclined towards vision boards, is there anything left to put up there?
Well, first of all, I am inclined to vision boards.
Yes! I love it! I knew it.
And I always just thought it was a really nice way of, like, goal planning. And then when I got that script, I was like, oh, they're kind of, like, pretending like it's cheesy.
Like, I'm sorry, is this dorky?
I know. And even Joel is, like, self-aware that it's cheesy. I was like, oh, I thought this was just good. I used to be really embarrassed that I was a very ambitious person, but I just sort of own it now. Yeah. And I'd love to continue acting. I'm a writer. I'd love to create something for me to act in because, you know, I'm hard to cast. And I'd love to just continue having adventures, you know?
Yeah. Jeff Hiller, it has been such a pleasure to talk with you. Jeff stars in the show Somebody Somewhere on HBO along with Bridget Everett. Thank you so much for talking with me.
Thank you. This was fun.